About 16 years ago was the first time that I did an in-depth study for the Beatitudes. I was pastoring in, I think it was in Wilmington, and I took some study leave for a few days. My son, who was a member at that time at Webster Baptist Church, knew a friend who had a small house/cabin up in the mountains, which is actually about 3 miles from where our cabin is now. And they were gracious to let me have the cabin. It had electricity and indoor plumbing. To spend up there, and I found, in looking for a notebook to use that was empty, I found most of the time, because I'm left-handed, I write from the back of a notebook. So I'm not always flipping pages in the way. And the front part of this notebook was clear, and I thought, great. And then I got to looking at it later, and in the back of that notebook, I had begun a journal of that experience up there. And so I read 4, 5, 6 pages of what I wrote, and I relived that experience. But I was there to seek a new and varied way to look at the Beatitudes. Lloyd Ogilvie was the one that, and I can't find his book yet, but Lloyd Ogilvie was the one that turned me on to an in-depth study of the Beatitudes. And he declares, and I agree with him, that the intrinsic value of the Beatitudes is so that we can live by love's standards, L-O-V-E-S, live by love's standards. And if you look closely at them as a whole, you notice that they are not commandments, okay? God does not command you to mourn. He does not command you to be this, and he doesn't command you to be that. And it's not a covenant. They're not a covenant. A covenant is an if-then. If you do this, then this will happen. They're not that way either. It's Jesus telling people about a new way to live. A new way to live. He's talking in terms that sometimes would seem backwards to us. I mean, who wants to mourn? Once we understand the value of mourning, we can embrace it. And I dare say in this room and in most rooms, we have all experienced things that bring us to mourn. We've all experienced the need for mercy. We're going to talk in depth about merciful here in a few minutes. All of the Beatitudes, Ogilvie says that they really mean, happy are they that. Happy are they that. And then you can fill in the blank. Prosperous are they that. But you don't get the end result without doing the deed. But he doesn't say you got to. It's not going to impact your salvation. You know, we argue sometimes about that. And if you look kind of close at the words in red, salvation is solely based on what? Faith. Believe on who? Jesus. On the Lord Jesus, and to go to the King James, and thou shalt be saved. Do all these things, and you'll be saved. Nope. Do all of these things, and you will receive grace. Nope. It's not a list of do's and don'ts for that, and the Beatitudes are not that. But it's showing us how to live by love's standards. And I believe that they are as contemporary as the baseball game yesterday afternoon. They're here for a purpose, here for a reason, but it leaves us with a choice. With a choice. Sometimes we don't like choices. You know, there are days that I would just rather not make any decisions. Just let the world go by. We don't have those opportunities very often. I never stay in bed all day, so you don't have to make any decisions. And then I make the decision to get up. We make the decision to eat breakfast, play with a dog. I'm using crazy things here, but my point is that we make the decision. And so many things in life are decision-based. Now, some things are based on talent. God-given giftedness. I believe in the New Testament in particular, there are several things, two or three I'm going to mention right now, that are not based on giftedness. They're based on decision. One is grace. I don't believe that we come into this world graceful. We don't come into the world physically graceful, and we don't come into the world emotionally graceful. Grace is something that we learn. I used to keep from getting in trouble when I was a pastor. I wasn't always good at that, but I served one church in particular that had lots of babies, and I learned, and you know, and Lori was in the labor and delivery room for a long time. She will fight with me when we go home. So if I need to, can I come over to your house this afternoon? If I need, we're in the shop. You know, little babies are ugly. I'm sorry. Look, I mean, really, they're wrinkled. Their hands are stuck on their arms. There's no wrist there. Sometimes they got cone heads. And I made a mistake one time of saying that to a mom. They're all beautiful to moms. And I learned through that. And the phrase that I always used was when I go in and they show me this baby and they were so proud. And it still had fuzz all over it and a cone head and no hair. I'm talking about Emily, my daughter in that case. And I learned to say, that is sure a baby. That was safe. It was. A choice. Grace is a choice. And it's best served by us when we have experienced it. Think about that. Giving, stewardship, is a choice. Rarely is anyone born a steward. You learn it. Sometimes we learn it from our parents or from someone else in the process. It's a choice that we learn, and then we're able to share with other people. We always knew that my mother was a pack rat. We knew that. We didn't know until my brother was cleaning out the house after Dad had died, and Mom is now in a nursing home with Alzheimer's. We didn't learn to the degree that he was a pack rat too. And she was an accountant. So she had every check stub that they had ever written. And you could tell how Dad's income didn't increase a whole lot. He owned his own small business, and he kept himself low until he finally retired, and he did really well. And but you could tell by the checks that were written weekly, he paid himself weekly, the checks that were written weekly to Vinton Baptist Church, you could tell that it was a tithe. When it says $37.62. And it wasn't because Mom was a Pharisee at all. I mean, she wasn't trying to just nitpick this thing. They were that serious about it. And they learned from their pastor to be a steward. I believe that mercy falls into the same category as these other things we just mentioned. Love may also be one of those. This particular one, chapter 5, verse 7. Am I right? Schedule's going like a worm.
Yeah, you're right.
5:7 says this. Blessed are the merciful, for they... No, that's the meek. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again from Lloyd, as well as other study that I've done. Lloyd Ogilvie, I don't know them all, but he's one of the finest Presbyterian preachers I've ever heard. He had a voice like God.
God. He'd say hello to you, and you went, yes.
I went to Tampa one time to a preaching conference, and I was there really to hear a Baptist fellow that had a voice like God as well, and I kind of knew him a little bit. And then Lloyd was speaking after him, and I thought my friend did great.
He had this deep voice. He said, go.
You go part the waters and we're there.
Go.
And then Dr. Ogilvie stood up and you went, yes. Natural gift. But he was an insightful Bible study leader. And he said that the best definition of mercy really comes from the Hebrew word. And it literally means your pain in my heart. That's mercy. your pain in my heart. And we, if you subscribe to that, and I do, we cannot be merciful until we understand how to pick up somebody else's issue and make it our own. Your pain in my heart. When I put your pain in my heart, I'll understand what it means to be merciful. And we'll live that out. Your pain, it may be someone that is going through something that we have never experienced. And it's going to be a work of God to be able to put that pain that we've never known into our heart. But how can someone really listen to us if we're just giving platitudes? You know, you come across someone who's hungry and you go, bless you, Father, bless you, child, I'm going to pray for you. I'm all for prayer. Do not hear me wrong about that. That man who hasn't had a meal in 3 days, who's scruffy and begging, and he may be the one out of five that's legit, doesn't want our prayers. He needs a sandwich. He needs a sandwich. How can we tell someone about the love of God? How can we tell someone about the living bread if we don't feed them? When their belly is rolling, they're not going to hear your prayers. Not at that point. We can find a way to be merciful first. First of all, by understanding the pain of someone else that we're going to put in our lives. We can't get to that point if we're not ready to understand someone else's pain. I was in so many cities. I was in a city on the east coast of North Carolina, way up above Wilmington, but below the Outer Banks. I was doing a capital campaign there. It's amazing the money that you can find in different places. My first $1 million gift was in that church, Methodist church there. And I preached one Sunday morning for them, as I usually did in my campaigns that I did. And there was a guy there that was talking about a mission that they were in the midst of being a part of, where they wanted people to give their shoes so that other people who did not have shoes across the world could have shoes. And I had on a nice pair of Bostonians that morning. I was dressed like I should, and it overcame me. And I didn't say anything. I didn't say a word. It wasn't really for anybody else. But I took my shoes off, and I put them on the offering plate, put them on the offering table. And I preached the rest of the morning and had to make it to my car. And Lori knows how I don't like to be barefooted, but I had to make it to my car on the gravels without. And I thought that pain that I experienced walking to my car was appropriate. Sometimes we overthink things where mercy is concerned. We need to act. Blessed are the merciful. That means those who have learned to be merciful. Those who have learned to put someone else's pain in your heart. And if we put someone else's pain in our heart, then we act on it. It has those three pieces. You've got to find out someone else's pain. You've got to make the decision to do something about it, and then you've got to do something about it. And when we make decisions like that, No turning back. I say all the time, Lori and others, you're not the only one. I say this to others. When you make a decision, tear off the rearview mirror. Tear it off. Don't look back. When you make the decision to be merciful, one time or a dozen times, then don't look back. Don't be standing around going, wait, you know, if I just, maybe I should have, maybe I shouldn't have. Tear it off. When you decide to be merciful, it will rearrange your life. Because then you start looking for places to be merciful. I'll let you in on a little secret. They will find you. When you're willing, they will find you. But then in the grace of God, we do not have the opportunity, when we found it, and it's found us, to go, yeah, you know, I'm just not feeling that today. No. When that opportunity presents itself, we must respond. We must ask. Yes, ma'am?
You're saying merciful, 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 but I'm looking for a definition.
Of?
Merciful.
I gave it to you. Mercy is your pain in my heart. A definition would be to act on that. To be merciful is just a continuation of mercy.
It doesn't have anything to do with not getting what we deserve? I've heard another definition, so I'm trying to put these two together.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with getting what we deserve.
Or not getting what we don't deserve.
Yeah, either way. I think it's totally separate from that.
Okay.
And if we think in those terms, we're going to miss an opportunity.
Okay.
And again, sometimes we can overthink this stuff. We can overthink it, and we're all guilty of that. If
we made a decision, as my dad was dying and then when he passed,
that we were not going to tell my middle brother, we were not going to ask him any opinion. At that time, he had just retired as a nuclear engineer. He would have had to put 6 spreadsheets together and think about this for this, that, and the other, and work it all out with a pencil and with the computer and everything else. And he was very open to us going, Roger, here's what we're going to do. Okay, we could do that. We can overthink things. We're not careful. When God presents the opportunity for someone else's pain in our heart, let's say yes. It really goes along with the anthem for this morning.
I'm just thinking about what you were asking, and that seems to be what God does in mercy.
That's
is
what?
To not give you what you deserve. And what we do in mercy is what you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm not sure that giving us what we deserve where mercy is concerned is a legitimate piece of that. Mm-hmm. Grace, yes. Mm-hmm. Grace, absolutely. What's a good definition of grace? Unmerited favor. That's where we don't deserve what we get. Is concerned grace. Mercy is more about our actions, what we do at that point. In my opinion, that's the way that I look at that.
So, are you going to pray for mercy so that you would get their hurt?
You're going to pray for mercy. So what?
Well, if you get an understanding of their hurt, then you can get an understanding two ways. You can get it intellectually and kind of perceive what it's like, or you can experience it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're praying to be merciful, are you actually asking the Lord to give you beautiful experiences?
I wouldn't pray for mercy. I would pray for opportunity. I would pray for opportunity. Lord, because if you're going to be merciful, it's when you act on mercy. So I wouldn't pray, Lord, give me more mercy. I would pray, Lord, give me opportunity to be merciful. Does that make sense? I can tell by your face it's kind of...
Yeah, just...
Okay, just think through. Grace, yes. Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is an action on our part when we understand where someone else is.
So you wouldn't have to experience it to understand or to be compassionate and empathetic.
I think you need to be open. God doesn't, for us to understand, to take someone else's pain into our heart, doesn't mean that we have to go cut ourselves so that we're painful too, so that we experience pain. It doesn't have to be that way at all. If we are going to understand the pain that someone else is going through by being homeless, it doesn't mean we've got to give up our home and go on the streets for 2 weeks to understand that. That's an intellectual understanding. But where the rub comes in is if God presents an opportunity for us to be merciful, we understand what that is, their pain in our heart, and then we go, yeah, I don't think so. I don't feel it today. That's wrong to me. That's wrong. Yes?
I do think Scripture uses mercy very, very often in terms of don't give me what I deserve. Have mercy on me, O Lord, a sinner. It is often a request for mercy to not receive that which I am genuinely due as a sinner.
But that is different than what this beatitude is talking about. You're right about that, but this beatitude is not talking about that at all.
Well,
it's helping us to become merciful.
It is very close to grace.
It is close to grace, but it's not the same.
But to show
it's
mercy
not the same at all.
In our lives, if we are to be imitators of God, we do want to have sympathy and empathy to some degree, but we don't want to repay their evil with evil either.
That's
we don't want to receive our due.
That's because we're Christ followers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that changes the way that we're merciful. Lots of people understand someone else's pain, but it's the action that we take that makes us merciful, changes from just mercy to merciful. And I think it's apples and oranges, what you're talking about. They're both fruits, but there's a difference completely with that. I think this is more powerful if you get right down to it. And he's not saying you got to be. Remember, these are not commandments. They're not. They're not written in stone. We didn't bring them down from the mountain. We did. It's Jesus telling us how to live a life of love's standards. Yes, sir. This is your last shot, so go ahead.
No, that's okay. So I understand this as Jesus, right up through Matthew 7, he is painting a picture of what you will look like. He's not giving you options or possibilities. He is basically describing what a new creation in Christ will look like because of what he himself is doing in us.
I would disagree with one word that you're saying.
Go ahead.
I don't think that it's what we will look like. It's what we could look like.
Right. I agree with
based
that.
On choice. Based on choice.
That makes us the driver.
About these, yeah. Yeah, I agree. What are you going to choose? Life's full of choices. We choose
sure
whether
is.
To follow Christ or not. We choose whether to follow Christ's teachings or not. We choose whether we're going to eat lunch or not. I don't choose that very often. I go with it, okay? But you get the example. These Beatitudes are opportunities for us to make the right choices and live by love's standards. And merciful is one of them. What is the rest of that? Blessed are the merciful, for
they shall obtain mercy.
They shall obtain mercy. And that second part is not a part of a covenant arrangement, but it's saying that the response for us in being merciful, the response for us is to gain Christ's mercy. And using the same definitions that we've been using, that I've been using, what does it look like for us to have Christ or God's mercy in our lives? Let's flesh that out a second.
Jesus was consistent with that message when he taught the Lord's Prayer, that forgive us our debts as we forgive others.
As.
So we will get what we give.
In this process, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's God's response to what we're doing. How many of us, I'm looking for a 100% show of hands. I'm just telling you. How many of us need God's mercy? All right. The vote is in. You got to be careful about voting. Did you hear the one? It's a preacher story, so it's bound to be true. A story about the preacher who had one old fellow here on the right in his congregation that always went to sleep in the service. None of you do that, I'm sure. First time that I was up there leading music, Larry was beside me, and he leaned over and said, "You can't go to sleep now. Everybody can see you." So the preacher decided he's going to show this old man up. He will get him one time forever. And he gets in the middle of the sermon. The old fellow's nodding off like usual. And the preacher said, "Everybody, if there was a bus outside of our church, and it was loading up to take people to go to hell, who would want to go? Stand up!" And of course, all the old fellow heard was what?
Stand up.
He looked around and he said, "Preacher, I'm not sure what we're voting on, but you and me are the only ones." We need mercy, but that should, in my opinion, that should not be the reason that we are merciful. It's an end result of that. We're not saying, if I can be merciful to five people today, boy, God's really going to show mercy to me. This is an end result of that. And I'm convinced that the reason that we are not more merciful toward other people is that we don't look around very often. If we make ourselves available, if we're available, God will reveal those people to us. He will put them in our lives at particular places at the right time. When Shayla was helping, Shayla, I'm going to tell the story on you. So you got to listen. Shayla, I'm telling the story on you. When Shayla and Lori and a ton of others were helping give out food early in those days after the disaster, I was working and I had not been able to be here. I came around this corner and came this way, and there was a guy carrying two bags of groceries, and tears just flowing down his face. Just flowing down his face. So I pulled in the parking lot and I got with him. I said, "You'll never believe what I saw here." And I started describing it, and Shayla said, "I gave you food." He was so grateful for the mercy that this church and Shayla and others like her showed to him, that it showed on his face. And I didn't know to put the two together, but she did with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
He took two waters, and I was like, "That's not gonna last." And then he took like two of the healthy bars. I was like, "If you don't grab more, please."
So you end up giving him more.
Yeah, so I did it.
Yeah.
I put it in the bag. I was like, "Take it."
Since he wouldn't take it.
Yeah, and then I got him a case of water, and he put it on his bike.
That's an exclusive description of often what happens when we are merciful. But seldom do we have the opportunity to see the result of mercy. Follow what I'm saying by that? We did that time. I just happened to turn the corner at the right time. At the right time and saw it. It's not our responsibility to be looking for the result of our mercy. We're merciful because we should be merciful and because it's been placed in our hearts. Sometimes we're merciful because someone else has been merciful to us. But it's not our responsibility to be looking for that, for the end result. It's our responsibility, in my opinion, to be merciful. And then the end result for us in that comes circle back around to when we know exactly how to take care of God's mercy toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, we are. If you look to your left, if you look to your right, if you look behind you, there's a wall behind you guys. If you look to the front of you, the one thing that we all have in common, it isn't some of us are tall and some of us aren't. Some of us are skinny and some of us are not skinny. It's not that. What's the one thing that we all have in common? We're sinners. We're sinners. In need of God's grace and God's mercy. And when we understand that God is merciful to us, the other point underneath that becomes that when God is merciful to us, that's a subsection of knowing that He is with us. He is with us to know how to take our pain in His heart. And when we know that we are not alone, to me, there's an immediate relief in that. How many times do we feel like we're all alone? No, we're not. If we know Jesus as our Savior, we are never alone. Yes, ma'am.
I think it's interesting in the Bible to see what we ought to be in obedience to God, the conditions that we receive mercy and grace. And that mercy and grace is not just everywhere if we are, but what the Lord expects from us.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's a lot to what Robert said, because I think that as we allow the Lord to grow in us, the outworking of that becomes a part of us, and we don't have to think, now, what am I supposed to choose to do?
I think it becomes a natural part.
Yes, and I don't think that what you're saying is bad. I think that's fine. But I think it's so important what Robert said. And I
don't tell him that. He's like a cat that you feed.
Because the Lord is really going
to I'm teasing, Robert. Yeah. I'm teasing. Okay.
And I've seen things in Scripture. Who the Lord is merciful to, who the Lord shows grace to.
Mm-hmm. And this one tells you who he's merciful to. Any other comments? We're going to quit here in just a second. Yes, sir?
Yeah, well, there are different responses to being merciful. See, for example, it's a big element in the people who are intercessory prayer people. You know, that one of the classic lines of one of the world famous ones was, you have to be part of the problem before you can be the answer. See?
Ooh, I like that.
See, yeah, well, that's what prayer, and that's one of the basics of intercessory prayer. So it's not just getting a sandwich, but if God puts that on your heart and you have that, your response to that might be in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then people pray till they get a peace that the Lord's taken over in that situation.
Awesome.
And people can tell if we're putting on something
or if it's, it was genuine.
Really the Lord.
Sure.
For us.
Yeah. Okay, you got one. This is half a chance.
Come on, baby.
Come on.
So one of the differences between your and my perspective, are you using an English Revised Version?
No.
The word obtain mercy. In the Greek, it is receive. It is a passive voice, whereas obtain is more active. In the Greek, you are receiving, whereas in your translation, you are obtaining for yourself by choice. It kind of changes
I think that's a misunderstanding of the beatitude, because the response by God to our mercy to other people is not that we did this because we wanted to obtain this from God.
Sure.
That's totally almost serendipitous to this. And the use of the Greek in this situation is negligible in other than the alternate way that you come up with that. I know a little Greek. He runs a restaurant in downtown Asheville. Yeah. And a Hebrew in the same neighborhood with him. But I think we need to be real careful about parsing this down. So one of the things that Ogilvie said in another book about the parables is the biggest mistake we make about the parables is that we parse them down more than Jesus ever meant them to be. And if we're not careful, we can do the very same thing with the Beatitudes. We can parse it down to where it loses its power and dynamic and function. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Fundamentally, you can't manipulate God.
Bingo. We can try. Some people do,
but there are consequences.
We didn't hear one.
He said you can't manipulate God. That's true. Yes, Shayla. If it's off topic, you got to go talk to Robert. No, I'm teasing.
Yeah,
go ahead. Quick. We're going to go to choir. Go ahead.
This is off topic, but I'm very thankful for everybody in this room that has supported me and that are happy to see me, because it really makes me smile.
You know what she's illustrating?
Yeah.
Mercy. You guys took her pain in your heart. And don't stop. And this is a good place for us to stop. Thank you, Shayla, for the good word. And I can speak for this group that they will not stop until they're just redundant and we're tired of hearing it. But that will still go on after that. Good discussion this morning. Hope this was helpful. Hope it causes you to think. Go find you a little Greek and a little Hebrew and go to their restaurants. It works out well. Let's stand up. Let's make a circle. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, for its meaning, that we can take it to heart. We can become merciful by understanding someone else's pain, and we can understand the way that you are always beside us in bringing mercy to us as well. Take us as we go to worship. May it be a time of refreshment, a time of growing, and a time of thinking and pondering, and a time to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And amen. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.